door, stick your head out, and yell.
I ain't gonna be cooking all day, I ain't your mama. I ain't gonna do your laundry, I ain't your mama. I ain't your mama, boy, I ain't your mama. When you gonna get your act together?
We are doing Our Town, Our Truth. This is Phoebe, and we're doing an extended conversation here with Nakira Roach as part of our series on intersectional feminism. Anthony is with us, who invited Nakira to join us and through the work that they do together in the community. And, you know, we're really using this interview as an opportunity to just get to know you as a community member, somebody who grew up in Hudson and now somebody who's trying to get back to your community and form it into the place that maybe you wish you had been able to grow up, or, you know, whatever it is that's coming next for our community. So yeah, here with Anthony and Aisha and Maggie at the clubhouse. And yeah, anybody want to kick off with some first questions? Got.
Before, we talked a little bit about education, and so we know you work with children, just to continue our previous conversation. So what are the kind of things that you do with that you help them with related to education?
So you're just talking about my MHA job, my MHA position?
Well, yeah, but you could also expand on your homework help job and and all that good stuff. You do a lot of cool stuff, just, you know.
Cool. So pretty much being an MHA, children's case manager, I'm in the school a lot, and I try to help as much as I can, like, bridge the gap with families and the school system, because sometimes there's that huge disconnect where they just are not seeing eye to eye all the time, and we try to be there to advocate for the families on a daily basis. And find any supports that the school might offer, that anybody else might offer, to help within school too.
Can you speak, since we are on this theme of intersectional feminism, to like the specific challenges or issues that you see come up with, like, young girls or women that you work with in your work, particularly young girls or women of color, like just that particular paradigm and like what comes up that's unique and like needs to be understood or people need to be aware of, you know, when they're thinking about social issues?
So I feel like within my work, we actually have a lot of women case managers where we work, but I feel like I know within the school system, some of the guys, like some of the men that are higher ups, they speak down to us a lot, which is pretty annoying. Because, like, we're still people at the end of the day. Like, you can't just talk to anybody just any old way. We're still actual people. We still matter as much as they do. As far as, like, being a woman of color in my workplace, I mean, within Hudson, children's case manager, I'm the only one. So, like, we don't have many there. Catskill, I don't really know how Catskill works. I think there's only one case manager right now. And, yeah. So I think overall between Hudson and Catskill, I'm the only person of color.
And how does that compare to the people that you're serving?
When it compares to the people that we serve, like, I know lots of the people that we serve tend to be, well, the ones that I have, at least on my caseload, lots of them are people of color. And so I feel like I could connect with them on a whole different level than, like, some of the other caseworkers can. What else? Yeah.
I would imagine that also, like, especially, like, in the schools and how, you know, how sort of senior staff or people in senior positions talking down to you, you're not even a student. You're there to, like, help students and advocate for students and families. Like, I can only imagine how that affects some of the people that you work with and how hard that must be on them.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. Like, because we're just there to help. And like sometimes the people in power, they don't see us as being helpers, essentially. We try to sit there and tell them that we're like advocating for the families just there. And like sometimes they compare us to CPS and we're like, we're not CPS though. We're not here. And like I feel like lots of times it's such a negative connotation because we're called children's case managers. I'm like, I'm not here to remove any children from any homes. Like, we're here to help them reach their goals, essentially. And lots of people in schools, they don't take the time to figure out what the family's goals are. Because, like, sometimes they feel like they should offer up the goals. We don't do that. We ask the family what their goals are, because sometimes they might be like, well, they need to make sure that their kids are passing. But, like, the family's goal might just be, like, make sure their kid gets up for school every day. Like, and such a simple goal, like, the schools don't necessarily see it as a goal, but, like, we try to do strength-based everything. So, like, once we see, like, boom, like, now they're getting up for school, all right, that's positive. I love it.
As, like, someone who's, like, gone through this, like, experience where, like, CPS had to step in, I don't see them as positive at all, but that's just how I see things. So, like, they had these people come in, and they worked for CPS, but they weren't CPS. They were, like, our case managers. Mm-hmm. And so I had Miss Lexi and someone else. I forgot her name. But Miss Lexi and Miss Lisa, I think. And then we had fun. So, like, they would come every week, and we would work on certain things. Like, mm-hmm. like you talked about, like, we had a chart, and if we set a goal that week, they would come by and they'd be like, okay, did you reach your goal? And you got a sticker on your chart. If you didn't, you got a prize. So,
see, we don't do stickers. We do monthly goals. Well, we try to check back in with the families monthly, and we try to tell them to be as specific as possible. Mm-hmm. So, like, one of the families I work with, like, the mom said her goal was just for her son to pass high school. He's in 10th grade. Like, that's a pretty... Like, although it is pretty specific, it's still pretty broad because, like, how about we think about a goal for, like, right this second?
Like, especially passing this quarter.
Yeah. Or, like, just saying, like, okay. Because, like, he struggles in school, so it's, like, one of those mm-hmm. things, like, what if he just passes all his classes for the week?
For the week, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that would be great.
I'm in 8th grade going into 9th grade, and I can tell you it's, like, that struggle. Like, when you mess up on something and then, like, the school doesn't give you support in certain ways and you miss out, it's hard to get back on track. So,
it definitely is, yeah. And I feel like lots of kids, they need as much support as they can from anywhere. And I feel like they don't provide enough of that at the schools.
You said, like, kids compare you guys to CPS. Could you tell us, like, ways that you guys different from them? Like, what you do versus what they do?
So, we're very, like, we're a strength-based organization. So, we focus on family strengths and, like, what they're good at, what they are able to do. And we, like, although we might say, okay, like, yes, this family is struggling with this, we try to say, like, well, how can we help them to do a little bit better? I feel like, I don't know much about CPS, but I feel like CPS has such a negative connotation where most people say that they're here to take your children out of this. And, like, granted, they work to protect children.
Child Protective Services, yeah. In the name, yeah.
Yeah. Hence the name, yes. So they work to do that. And sometimes they don't consider what families are going through altogether mm-hmm. as a whole. Because, like, yes, I get it. Like, you want to be here to help the child, like, if they don't have somewhere to live currently, like. But, like, I feel like with us, it's more so, like, okay, you guys don't have anywhere to live right now. Let's find you a place to live right this second. Like, let's work towards doing that right. So you guys don't have to be separated at all. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, we do help to protect the children at all costs as well.
Right.
We have to.
Of course, that's important, right? Like, me, myself, I have 4 older sisters, and I'm only meeting one of them this year. Mm, wow. Like, I just met my older sister, and she's 25. and I'm 15. So, like, that shows, like, the gap where I didn't know anything about them. So, like, because we were separated because of things that before I was even born. So, I understand wanting to keep families together.
Yeah, I feel like, with CPS, they don't really consider, like, the damage it does by separating families. Like, I don't know. It's just hard to see, like, sometimes when they say, like, okay, yes, this is in the best interest of the child. Yes, sometimes it is, but, like, when you take them away from their mother or their father that maybe they have only just seen or been with for the past year or two, like, sometimes that makes them go through so much more trauma.
Right. So, you know what? Since we on this topic, So what is your relationships like with the families? Being that they've, you know, a lot of families have, you know, just been done wrong by, you know, whatever agencies, you know, and it is hard to trust, you know, certain agencies, certain, you know, workers in agencies. So what has your experience been like when you meet the family? Are they like, hey, or are they like, yeah?
So. Every family's different. Some of the families that I work with, they're kind of iffy. They're like, listen, I'm letting you into my home, so listen, you better do right, because the last worker I had, they were terrible. Sometimes they try to shoot down every worker that they've had, and I'm like, listen, I'm not here to shoot down anybody. I'm just here to help you. And, like, sometimes they're really hesitant on having me come into their household, which is understandable. Like, it's essentially a stranger. Most of the time, I don't like strangers in my house either. But, like, I try to gain that trust with them so they know, like, I'm here to help you in anything that you want help in. I'm not going to tell you what you need to improve. And I feel like some other agencies, they tell them what they need to improve. And I feel like with our agency, it's like, well, what do you guys feel like you need to improve? I'm not going to tell you what you need to improve. You guys have a good idea what you need to improve.
So did we before talk about what your future goal is, like your end goal for your career?
No, we didn't really talk about it, but I mean, we could talk about it now.
All right, go for it.
So I feel like within this career, I just want to help bridge the gap between a bunch of different organizations, because sometimes we're not on the same page as probation. Sometimes we're not on the same page as, like, we don't really work with CPS, but sometimes we're all on different pages. And I hope we can help to bridge that gap, especially if we're working with a lot of the same families. Like, and also I just hope, like, within the school system, we help them to, and we help a lot of other people to open their eyes to exactly what situations families are going through, because just because you haven't gone through it, like, doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. And, like, if you have an open mind and you take the time to listen to what people are saying, then you can get a lot out of, like, in, like, whatever you're doing with them. And I feel like you could work better with them once you take the time to listen.
Just to Aisha has a question for you, but just to sort of expand on that for a quick second, what are some of the things that you want to open people's eyes to? Like, some of the things that your, would you call them clients? Or
yeah, we call them clients.
Okay, that your clients.
I say my kids, but
your kids. All right. So what are some of the things that your kids go through that you want people to be more aware of then?
Sometimes you can't speak to them certain ways because they have trauma, and, like, where some people might have yelled at them and it, like, triggers something in their brain where it, like, brings them back to that same exact scenario. Or, like, sometimes some people don't think about, like, if you grab a kid a certain way, like, just grabbing their arm just to say, like, hey, don't run away. Like, sometimes they've been abused where if you touch them a certain way, it's like, oh, my God, like, they're going to shut down because now they're back into that whole, they're just back into that memory. And also, like, people don't realize, like, sometimes like a lot more people go through things like rape and abuse and trauma than you actually like think, and they gotta realize that.
Going back to what you said about communication, like with the schools and the home, Catskill communication between like it's terrible. It's horrible because like the middle school and the high school are connected by one huge hallway. Yet something could go down in the high school and we won't know till like last minute. So like a good example is today, the high school went into lockdown and they didn't know the reason. But then like when their lockdown was going like ending, we started ours. And so it's like so wishy-washy.
They would put it all at the same time.
You really would think like if something went down in the high school that the middle school would be the first to know.
Yeah.
But we're not. So like there's no communication between the two buildings. And then like so you could call the school, like say you called the middle school. Someone from the high school could answer and they'd be like, "Who? Who are you looking for? Like what?"
Yes.
And so like it's a mess. Like nobody knows. You have to dial certain extensions, you get one wrong number and it's over.
Definitely know how that is.
The secretaries, some of them are good. You get a good secretary, that's great for you. If you get a bad one, then you're like, well, I'm new, so I have to look through the logs and then find this teacher and that teacher. They'll be like, just connect me to whoever. Thanks. But like, if there's like that important gap, if there's no communication between the home and the school, like, mm-hmm. Sometimes things could happen in school and you won't get like our parents won't get a letter till like a week later. And I'm always like, when did this happen? I'm like, when that happened a week ago. She's like, why didn't I get a phone call? I was like, you asked the school. Or like there was this whole thing where there was a gun scare. Like there was a picture on social media and somebody posted it on Snapchat and they sent it around to all the kids at our school. And basically this person was like, I'm going to shoot the school, da da da. You don't know when it's going to happen. And so the teacher didn't know what was going on, but everybody was like scared.
Mm-hmm.
Me, myself, I was terrified. So like I was crying. There was like kids all around me crying. People were screaming and crying. And then the school, instead of like when they finally like figured out what happened, instead of like telling us, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is the protocol, instead mm-hmm. of communicating with us like the eighth graders that we are, like I don't care if you don't talk to the little kids, mm-hmm. like talk to us.
Scare them a lot.
So like what they did was they would count us after we went into the classrooms and they're just like tiptoeing around like the real situation, so it really scared us. And I ended up sitting in the bathroom calling my mom to come get me and my brother. Like everybody was going home. I think after that day nobody was left in the school building. So I don't think anybody trusts like the communication system.
Communication is like a big thing, because I know like with me and some of the people that I work with, like we try to definitely, when it comes to the school system, like if they're so out of the loop, because sometimes they are really out of the loop when families go through certain things, mm-hmm. and then I'll go to the school like, well, like you shouldn't talk to this child like this, or do you realize that they have gone through this recently? And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, that's why they're probably acting out the way they are, because of this. If you guys take the time to listen to some of the families, and maybe instead of like just jumping the gun and like doing certain things like to discipline a child, like maybe ask them like, why are you acting like this? Why do you feel like it's necessary to mm-hmm. do this when somebody says this to you? Or like change a lot, I feel.
They like, I'm just speaking from like my school, like how they deal with things. Like if you have any type of like, if they like like it's confirmed that you have like bipolar disorder or whatever, you can do whatever you want. It's pretty much like a free ball game. So it's literally like the opposite of what you said. Instead of disciplining these kids, they do whatever they want. They literally do whatever they want. Like, they could punch a kid in the face, and they'd be like, oh, honey, it's okay. It's okay. And, like...
I feel like there's a certain protocol you have to follow.
There was
like,
a certain protocol. No. It's no protocol. Trust me. I know. There was a girl who pushed me off the playset in elementary school, and she broke my shoulder and my wrist. And she didn't get in trouble. She sat in the principal's office while she cried. and I was in the hospital, but she didn't get in trouble. And then instead of like she pretty much bullied me all through elementary. And then I wrote down how I was feeling, like I turned it into a story and I left it on my computer. And they went through the computers, found my writing, and said that it was a threat against her and suspended me for 3 days.
That is outrageous.
I'm like, yeah, so there's clearly no back and forth at all.
So, you know what? It just came to me, right? Like, I remember what you said earlier about, you know, your jobs, circus arts instructor. Yeah, you have to tell us about that. Like, yeah, yes. I'm sure the people want to know too.
All right, so my coworker, she jokes around a lot. Let's make something clear. I do not teach little kids how to get out of a very small car. I do not do that. It is not all clowning. I literally did my whole final paper in my public speaking class was about how it's not just clowning. Because everybody always is like, oh, well, you're such a clown. I'm like, no. Actually, I've never actually taken clowning the whole time I've done circus arts. It's not a thing. Well, like, clowning is a thing, but I've just never taken it, any formal clowning. I'm just a funny person.
So would you say you're experienced an informal clowning then?
I'm pretty, you know. I like to believe I have a degree in like clownology. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, clowning is cool. Like, I like it. Once I like was exposed to it, like within this past year, it's pretty cool. I guess mainly we teach kids a bunch of different things, like juggling. I do pretty okay with juggling. I can juggle scarves. Those are really easy. You guys should all try it. They fall like super slow. So like whenever we're working with the littles, they think it's like the best. They're like, oh my God, look, I can clap 50 times and then catch it. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I like put like, okay, well, since you're so great at that, let's put juggling balls in your hand. And then they try to clap 50 times and it doesn't work the same. Because it just falls too. They're like, no, that didn't work. And I'm like, go a little bit faster. If all just a little bit faster. But yeah, we do juggling. We teach kids how to unicycle. I'm not much of a unicycler. I like two wheels. Rolling globe, like we teach them how to walk on the rolling globe. That's pretty fun. I only just started that this year, which is pretty cool. Stilts, we teach them how to walk on stilts. Those are pretty cool. You should try those. There's this thing called the Diablo, which is a Chinese yo-yo. Pretty good at that. Rollabola, it's like essentially just a board on a cylinder. You just balance on it. And I got so good at balancing, I tried to challenge myself and started juggling while on there. That's pretty fun. Now I'm trying to like practice juggling clubs, which are essentially like the bowling pins. They look like the bowling pins. Ooh. Those are really hard to juggle though. they don't spin the same. That's it. It's a whole technique.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, we do tumbling, all that stuff.
That's very impressive.
You started doing that when you were really young, right? Like 12?
Yeah, I started doing circus arts.
I mean, like, how does that impact you as a young person growing up in this community? And like, how does that impact how you think about what kids need here?
So, like, when I was 12, I tell everybody the story. I did not want to do circus arts because that was not the cool thing to do at all. None of my friends were doing that. It was like three kids that wanted to do it. And the whole youth center. And I was like, I am not doing that. And my cousin, he worked at the youth center. He's like, nope, I signed you up. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing it. And he was like, well, then you have to go home if you don't do it. And at the time, I had just lost my house key. So I had no choice but to stay there until my mom got off of work. So I had to do circus arts. And yeah, I mean, now I'm happy that I did it because, like, it's opened my eyes to a lot of things. I've met a lot of people doing it. And, like, I feel like circus arts is, like, a great outlet because, like, most people, they don't think to do that. It's not like just, like most people are like, yeah, I play basketball. Like, yeah, I play baseball, soccer. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I do circus arts. And they're like, what? What is that? Uh-huh. But, yeah, I feel like it's great. Because when I did that, it opened my eyes. And I was like, you know what? Like, I was exposed to other things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what a lot of these kids today need, is like a lot more exposure to things that they normally wouldn't do, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, you know, I mean, I guess we're coming to a, you know, coming to an end. I guess like the only thing, you know, I would have to ask, what do you want the people to know about you? I mean, like, you know, is there anything that, you know, we haven't asked that, you know, that you want to put out there, or, you know, anything like that, or shout outs, whatever?
So I want to shout out MHA. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Yeah. Mama, I love. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, like, this is such a hard question. I hate when people ask things like that. I'm a pretty dope person. You guys should get to know me.
Ask Anthony who I am. Aw.
Come visit me at 713 Union Street in the basement.
The basement, right? In the cave.
Yeah. Come to the cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like to help out any way I can all the time. Like, ever since I was, like, little, that's all I ever wanted to do, was just help everybody. Just help the world, to save everyone.
A last question, maybe. We're doing this radio program. We're just kind of working through the kinks of youth engagement, who shows up, and what's exciting, and, like, you know, any suggestions for us, given your work in the world, and thoughts on how we can use this platform in a good way?
I feel like you guys are doing great. Like, I feel like you guys are, like, you guys are working with a bunch of kids, like, that sometimes they might not have a place in, like, doing other things. I'm not saying they don't, but, you know, and it's just great what you guys are doing. I would say maybe, if anything, like, here in Catskill, you guys have, like, a... essentially like a youth center at, what is it called again?
This is the youth clubhouse.
Community center.
Yeah, yeah, the community center's down the street, right?
Yeah, do you guys like ever go there and like
we have kids who cross over, like some of the kids are regulars here, work down there, and there's some program crossover. I know they've done radio stuff there before, but we haven't collaborated on the radio program specifically. Yeah.
I mean, we could. I mean,
I was gonna say, why not try? Like,
yeah.
Even just to go down there and be like maybe, like, one thing I know that reels people in a lot of times is, like, pizza. Uh-huh. They'll be like, yeah, we're having a giant pizza party. You know, like, people are like, oh, my gosh, let me go see what's going on.
Yeah, true. You know, we always have, like, Hot Pockets and pizza Hot Pockets rolls.
Good. Those are good,
too. And frozen pizzas.
I like those.
And all stuff that it drives me crazy when the kids ask to make, because we got a full kitchen of other things. But, you know, that's all right. We just want to get them fed. Because
people like to eat. Like, yeah. I feel like food is the way to a lot of people's hearts.
All right, we got one more question from Aisha. All
right, so to wrap this thing up, since... Third wrap up of the evening, because... You know, you got to put a bow on it.
So wrap it real tight.
Since you gave us your view of the Hudson youth, I know you probably, I don't know if you've worked with anybody down, well, where we are. So, like, what is your overview on, like, the Catskill youth that you've met so far?
You guys are pretty dope. I was gonna say, I have lots of cousins here in Catskill, though. Thanks, so, like.
I mean, I try, but.
You guys are cool people. You guys can come to the cookout.
Cool. Nikira, thank you so much for coming on Clubhouse Radio for Our Town, Our Truth. It's awesome to get your perspective about what's true in our community and what we can do to make it a better, safer, more considerate place for all of the young people and us too.
Well, thank you
for your work.
this is the bow on the top now. That wraps up Our Town, Our Truth, presented by Clubhouse Radio. This has been the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Thank you.
And yeah, well, that will wind us down.
All right, so that wraps up.